Well, welcome everybody to the City Council meeting Tuesday, May 26th, 2015 at 7 p.m. City of Shore Acres. First line of business is roll call.
Sandy Schnell, President.
Neil Meyer here.
Bo Bunker, President.
Ed Moses, President.
Richard Adams, President.
Mike Weaver, President.
Next line of business is pledge allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Honor the Texas flag, the pledge allegiance to the city of Texas, one state under God, one and indivisible.
We're going to move over to item 3.0, special presentations. This time, 3.1, there's no special presentations. However, what I would like to do is reserve a moment of silence for all our veterans and for all our folks in the great state of Texas that have had the horrible things that's happened lately, but being that we weren't here yesterday, I think it's the proper thing to do, so a moment of silence, please. Thank you. Moving on to item 4.0, approval of minutes. 4.1, regular council meeting for May 11th, 2015. If the council's had time to go over that, I'll entertain a motion.
Motion.
Thank you, Mr. Adams. Have a second?
Second.
Mr. Weaver, I'll give that one to you. All those in favor?
Aye.
Yes? Okay. I did not ask for questions from council. Raise one if you did. 4.2, special council meeting, May 18th, 2015. If the council's had time to review those, I'll entertain a motion.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Mr. Moore. Second?
Second.
Mr. Schnell, any questions? All those approved?
Aye.
Yes. Moving on, item 4.3, special council meeting, May 21st, 2015. Entertain a motion?
Motion.
Mr. Wheeler, I'll give that one to you. Second?
Second.
Thank you, Mr. Bunker. Any questions? All those approved?
Aye.
Yes. All right. Moving on, item 5.0, council reports and requests. 5.1, Mayor Moses meetings attended. I'll be brief tonight. I did have a meeting with DOT once again. It looks like they've got a couple of aggregate colors to show and things for the sound wall for the inner side. I'll be contacting neighbors. All the residents are living on that side, on both sides of the street, with the sound wall that's going to be affecting them. I'll be getting with the HOA and some other folks very soon on that to get some ideas and present it back to DOT. That's the only meetings I've had other than with our city attorney. So I'm going to go ahead and move on over to item 6.0, public hearings and public comments. 6.1, public comments. This is the opportunity for the public to address the council or comment on items which appear on the agenda. Time is limited to 5 minutes per speaker. Comments are directed to the city council. Dialogue with the audience is not permitted through the council. Council members are prohibited by law participating in discussion, deliberating, and items specified identified on this agenda. With that being said, I'm going to start to the far right. If you'll step up to the podium, give your name and address, we greatly appreciate it.
Hi, my name is Kay Pickett. I live at 322 Seagrove. I've got 3 points. First of all, to address the city council members texting while sitting on the bench during city council, I think that's extremely unprofessional. It could also be unethical and against the law. I would suggest that if you do have an emergency, you step outside, take care of your business, and address what you need to outside and not while sitting at council. Second, I'd like to take a moment to thank Bo Bunker and Neil Moyer for their service. I think that y'all have represented our city in a very, very professional manner, and I'm pleased to have had y'all on city council. Third, if I had known a couple of weeks ago before the city council election what I do know now, I would have voted differently. Thank you.
Thank you, Adam.
Cody Bunker, 222 Seagrove. The past 2 years, I've watched as my dad's been on council and what him and the rest of the members have had to endure. Someone at the last meeting said this room is very uncomfortable, and I couldn't agree more. I've seen my dad fight his lip till it bled to
to keep from speaking out against some of the things that many people have made comments to and the rest of council about. Lies, false accusations, and corruptions are just a few of the allegations that were made, either verbally or on social media. Friendships and relationships with neighbors were highly affected by this. Statements made on social media websites with inaccurate information, or just enough information to incite a verbal attack on city officials. People believe that what they read and what they were told were the truth when they did not go out and actually try to figure out what the truth was behind it. I stopped attending these meetings for a while because I was sick and tired of hearing the same thing over and over again. And I was not sure if I could hold my tongue any longer. In the last meeting, I heard how the city needs to come together with feel-good comments, only to read just a few minutes after the meeting had ended, mind you, that just insults, name-calling, and boastful gloating were popping up on Facebook. I watched my dad talk to citizens about everything that appeared on the agenda, and he actually talked with the citizens, respected what they had to say, listened to what they had to say, and actually voted for what they wanted instead of what he wanted. He took the attitude of citizens first, me second, meaning that he just didn't believe the whole I believe or I think or I know type of attitude. He put the city first. These council positions are not about power, ego, or wanting to be the smartest person in the room. They're about helping people. They're about serving people. They're about doing the right thing. Your title has honorable in front of it. The position is about doing the honorable thing. When you come to this room, check your egos and personal agendas at the door. If you can't do that, then quit being part of the problem and step down so someone else can be part of the solution. We have a great police department led by Chief Harrison, with a fine group of officers, great city employees working on our behalf, a city administrator who has done an outstanding job working to improve our great city, our mayor, Mr. Moses, has done an excellent job for us as well. I would have never believed there would be concrete streets in the acres, as I affectionately call it. I'm demanding. In fact, we are demanding, as a city, we are demanding that council does the right thing. That y'all keep it honorable and y'all keep the city moving forward. Don't stand in the way of progress, please. Just keep making this great city that I love so much and want to spend the rest of my life here. Please help keep moving forward. Thank you.
Thank you.
Patrick Stanton, 128 Shady Lawn. I'd like to address two things tonight. A number of months ago, I addressed council about our ordinance of keeping wild and or exotic animals for livestock, which is prohibited. I have a neighbor on Seagrove that keeps chickens. I called it to the attention of the council. Nothing has been done. So I would like for you to take a look at Ordinance 6-206 and rewrite it so that it can be enforced. So I understand Chief Harrison did check with our lawyer and he said it couldn't be enforced. So I would like for y'all to consider rewriting the ordinance so it can be enforced. Okay, the second thing I'd like to speak to is the Audit Committee. Now, I am on the Audit Committee as Jerry Victor's on our committee. And we kind of feel like, or at least I feel like we've kind of been left out of the process. We did go to a pre-audit meeting, and that's it. As I understood at the meeting with the auditors, that we would get a shot at, get a chance to see the final report before it's published. Didn't happen. According to the resolution, it says the audit committee shall monitor the conduct of the external auditors and advise the city council if necessary. I don't even know when they came in, so it's kind of hard to monitor them. So I haven't monitored them. Secondly, when the auditor writes the audit letter, they don't include the members of the community that's on the audit committee. It's addressed to the council and to the mayor. So as tonight, the things that were passed out for the council, all the members of the committee didn't get any copy of it. Jerry or I, neither one got a copy of it. We requested, or I requested, that we table the auditors coming in order that everybody in the committee could take a look at the report before it was published. And this was turned down by David. He didn't understand why we would request that. But as I understood at the meeting we had with the pre-audit, that the auditor said that this would happen, but it didn't happen. So, I don't feel like as a member of the committee I've done due diligence for the council. In other words, I haven't examined the report. I don't know where it's any good or not. I don't know if we've addressed everything. I don't know how much time they spent, what have you. So I think you need to relook at Resolution 2010-27. So if you're not going to include the members of the community, if they're going to be left out of the process, then don't put them in. Revise it. Thank you.
Front row up here, everybody.
Kelly Peters, 523 Shore Acres Boulevard. I have a couple points. I'd like to thank the Bunker and Neil Moyer for their service. Also, would like to thank Mr. Stahl for all of his service. He's done a hell of a job. I think there's a witch hunt out after him. I think there are members of this community and a council member and an incoming council member who are after the individual. If it wasn't for him, I don't think the city would be where it's at. I don't think Shore Acres would have come back without David Stahl. In terms of the one sitting individual who has been reelected, had information been given out and been honest prior to the election, I don't think the election would have gone the way it was or the way it did. You're supposed to be honorable. We hold you to a standard and we expect certain things out of you. When a council member is taken to a hospital and either admitted on a 5150, which is a 72-hour cycle, or is taken by the police because of terroristic threats due to suicidal attempt and saying that she would stop anyone who decided to stop her from trying to carry through her attempt, you have to wonder, is this individual actually capable of doing what's right for the city? It's not a witch hunt, and I don't mean to bring up something that I know is very personal. I understand this. But the problem is, when you make a threat, be it against yourself and or others, what's not to say that you're not going to do it again? I know the HIPAA laws. I know that she doesn't have to say whether or not she's on psych meds or whether she's receiving psych treatment. But At what point is she going to attempt to do it again? If she's not happy with how other council members are behaving or with other citizens of this city, is she going to make a threat against them? Based on some of the Facebook and other social media posts, one has to say it's a legitimate question. I would encourage her to step down and not accept the 2 years that she's been reelected to. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Peters.
Margaret Moore, 401 Oakdale, Shore Acres, Texas. My husband said, make sure I bring up the drainage problem first. It's hard for the water to drain if it's going up in the right direction and it's broken to go uphill. And I would like to address the weed problem we're having for several weeks, if not over months. I have tried to get this addressed. I've been fighting it since I've been in Shore Acres, which is like 20 years. And I don't know if you're familiar with the weed. Is it sumac, poison oak? I was told it was some kind of pepper vine. And I see it all over as I ride my bike. Yes, I still can ride a bike. If you barely touch it, it breaks you out. I see it at Circle Park, and I cringe because it's growing in the shrubbery. And if a little child just barely brushes up against it in its stroller, trust me, that child will break out. If he rubs his eye, it will get in his eye, and it's very toxic. 1 ounce of poison ivy or any of these vines can affect the entire world, as I was reading. Anyway, I see this endemic to Shore Acres. I addressed this with the Parks Department, and he said, yes, he's well aware of this. When the wind blows, I don't know what it does to him, but he's affected by it, by the oils or whatever. I don't know if it gives off a pollen. But I know when my husband burned one of these vines, he got it in his lungs, and I had to go to the hospital for treatment. So I've been digging the vine up, and it crops up everywhere. It's a continuous thing. And I don't know what y'all suggest, but whatever y'all do, please let me know so I can use whatever y'all suggest. Also, Mark Stamps, maybe y'all are familiar with this wonderful man. He was a librarian. He's my neighbor. I'm sure many of you have ridden down Westview and have seen what a beautiful job he does at keeping those lots nice and mowed. There's an empty lot that my husband used to mow that Mark took over. And he not only mows it, but he pulls the weeds, and he pulls them with his hands. He gets care of the Johnson grass. He's destroyed several lawnmowers mowing the ditches. And I think it would be a beautiful gesture if we compensated Mark for his endeavors in some way, shape, or form. Also, on the empty lot, years ago, there was a tree that was growing next to a oak tree, and it was not, the oak tree could really have flourished if the tree that was kind of rotten was taken away. And so my son and I, who was like five, and I attempted to take it away, and Mark got real upset, but anyway, he took it away. And I told Mark, I said, Mark, look at that tree now. Isn't it beautiful? It's umbrellaed out. My point is here, there's three, what do you call it, those Chinese fellow trees there that need to come out, because there's oak trees and some better trees, some more sturdier trees, and something you can look at years later and enjoy as you're sitting out on the park. I mean, out on your patio. If those trees were removed so the other trees could flourish, it would really make that a beautiful lot. And back to the vines. The vines are also growing in the, what do you call it, the park across 146, the that wetlands park.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Anyway, thank you for letting me speak. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay. Dolly Aarons, 1118 North Carolina Drive. I just want to council to know, but I also want to let the residents know. Mr. Bricker passed away, I guess, a week or 10 days ago. He lived on Shore Acres and Center. And, you know, he donated a lot of his paintings and his photographs to the city, I think, in this room now. It would be nice if we could take a look at putting some little name tags in his paintings, somehow letting them know that he's lived, because I feel like it's his legacy, and he gave them to the city. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Anybody in the back row?
Do I get to speak one more thing?
No, ma'am. I need to let the other folks in a moment. Anybody in the back row?
I'd like to comment if I can as a citizen.
Sorry, I want to make sure we follow the guidelines of the law.
Only 5 minutes.
that rule does change.
I'm not surprised this item appears on this agenda tonight, the night I vacate my seat, but a couple of weeks ago I asked council to pass an ordinance of banning texting from council meetings. And I would like you to uphold that ruling that we made. Texting should not be allowed, period. For years and years, city councils all over these great United States have held council meetings without having the need to text. Cell phone use and texting is not allowed in several places. A lot of movie theaters, I mean, they frown upon it. Driving, schools, it's not allowed. I was getting a haircut, I saw a sign that said, please silence your phones. Why? Well, because it's annoying, for one thing. It's distracting. And you can't possibly give your full undivided attention to something. And right now, your undivided attention is required and needed. I was trying to think of several things that could come up during a meeting that need to be texted. And I really couldn't. Agenda items are meant to be moved around if need be to gather more information and facts. You don't need to be texting information like that. Postpone the meeting to the agenda item on the next meeting. I would say if you have to text during a meeting that badly, then maybe you're not as prepared for the meeting as you should be. Ask yourself what laws could be broken or misinterpreted if you do pass this. It's happened before. It's happened here before. Adam was brought up by a citizen on a public comment, was not on the agenda, could not be discussed, but it was something that the city administrator could address on his One of his reports, he addressed it. Councilperson tried to ask him a question. Was told, you can't discuss this. At that point, a texting conversation went back and forth between the councilperson and the person who brought it up in the audience. This happened before, and if it happened before, it happened again. That was a discussion over an item that, remember, not on the agenda, couldn't be discussed, but yet it was happening right there. And some very colorful and not so flattering comments made towards a city official. It just flies in the face of Open Meetings Act. The whole open meeting law is about transparency. Where's the discussion? Imagine walking in, every councilman picks up their phone and starts sending texts. Where's the discussion? Where's the open meeting? You may say, well, it's public records. Is it? We know how hard it is to get those open and released, don't we? Nothing good can come of this. It's just that we don't want the hours spent, the money spent, the fees, lawyer fees. We don't need it. We don't want it. Be proactive. Get out in front of this. Stop it from happening right now. I'm asking council to, at the very least, vote this down. What I'd really like to see is someone make a motion to postpone this indefinitely. That's what I would do.
Thank you, Mr. Bunker. Anyone else would like to address council?
My name is Kim Sanford, and I live at 211 Shorecrest Boulevard. I agree with him on the chicken. I actually want four hens, have roosters, but I think the ordinance does need to be revisited. I do think that it's disrespectful to be texting during city council meetings. And I also would hope that if you guys are going to enforce the codes and ordinances on the citizens, that you would also enforce them on your own council.
Thank you. Anyone else? So move on to item 7.0. Administrative reports. 7.1, City Administrator David Stahl has an IT report. David?
Good evening. And along with your packet, there's a reduced size copy of a page from the Houston Chronicle. It's got the mass hit on the world page, A8. Not exactly how it printed, but this was prepared by the American Heart Association to demonstrate that they ran a quarter page ad here about Lifeline, which is a program that they have. And I want to bring this to your attention. That this appeared in the newspaper on May 20th, and they paid a substantial amount to run that in the paper to congratulate emergency medical services that are using a STEM program to help ensure survivability of heart attacks. And there are three levels of awardees that they give annually in the program: gold, silver, and bronze. And I would note to you that only eight agencies in the entire area got the award. The second one in the silver awardees is the Clear Lake Emergency Medical Corps, which, of course, is our ambulance service here. Interestingly enough, they're not eligible for gold until next year by the years of participation in the program. And I think it's merits raising that our ambulance service is on the forefront of doing things proactive to save lives and ensure that people survive heart attacks. And they've been recognized by this national organization. And I would applaud them for the effort. I, too, wanted to mention the passing of a couple of our residents. Mr. Richard Bricker, as former Mary Aarons noted, did donate these photographs that are here in the council room and other places in City Hall and the police station. Mr. Bricker was a notable photographer, particularly for his work photographing the Alyssa in Galveston. He also is the author of a book and brought a little bit of fame to Shore Acres, and we're going to miss having him around. Another person who passed away since our last meeting was Maureen Mitchell. And many of you may not know who Maureen Mitchell is or remember her, but she lived on the corner of Byway and Shady Lawn. And one of our former mayors, Nancy Edmondson, together with Senator Jackson's wife, really came to the aid of Mrs. Mitchell when she needed it. The roof had collapsed in on her house from disrepair, having lived there for many, many years. And they put together a community program for her, and they raised money and volunteers, and the city helped to the extent that we could. And Seth, the housing organization that we are a member of, I worked with Seth to pave the way for them to purchase $40,000 in materials. And this volunteer group built Mrs. Mitchell a new house. They demolished her old house and built a new house. That was well prior to Ike, and she suffered very little damage to her home in Ike, and lived out the rest of her life into her 80s. You may have run across Mrs. Mitchell and not known it. She was one of those Walmart greeters for all those years, but she has passed away now. A bit of good news, particularly the Tumas are here. But those folks who live near South Country Club and West Country Club know that for the last couple of years we've had a fire hydrant there that we've black tagged and taken out of service. When we do our hydrant testing, which we do a minimum of every 5 years, that hydrant did not produce enough water to allow us to even claim it as a fire hydrant. It was my belief that there was a water line there at one time to serve that hydrant with proper flow. We uncovered the original wind gate drawings for utilities that were installed in the subdivision before it later became Bioforest. There's two sets of utilities there, and I'm happy to report that last week they located the water line that goes to that hydrant, and now we just need to press on and locate the valve. That should be a live line at the other end. The South Country Club is one of the areas where we have the fewest fire hydrants in the city, and we'd really like to get that hydrant back in service with proper pressure, and we're a huge leap closer to that right now. Water quality report. Every year we do a water quality report. It's required by TCEQ. It's a good thing to put out there. Every year it confuses people because it will have last year's year on it. So this will be the 2014 quality report because it looks at the last calendar year in testing results. But that did go in the mail today in an envelope of its own. So in the next day or two, you should all receive your CCR, your Consumer Confidence Report on water that Derek Ingram has sent out to you. And that's the report this evening.
Thank you, Dave. Any questions, Council?